I suggest a word of advice. You might like to make it a New Year's resolution. My advice is this: never say never to God. We can say never to God without saying never. We can say never to God by our attitudes, by our actions. But if we ever say never to God, we will be sorry. Let me give you some examples. Cain said never to God. I think you remember what happened. Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to God. Abel's offering was accepted, but God rejected Cain's offering. Cain responded by being defensive, jealous of Abel, and downright angry at God. Well, God gave Cain a second chance. This is what God said to Cain: "Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." In other words, Cain, all you have to do is offer the acceptable offering. Sin is trying to conquer you. Don't let that happen. You conquer it. Do the right thing. But Cain, by his actions, said, "Never. I will never offer what you want me to offer." And he never did. So Cain seethed in his anger and resentment and jealousy to the point of murdering his brother Abel. When God then asked Cain where Abel was, he shot back at God, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, Cain paid dearly for his rebellious attitude. He became a marked man, a vagabond, a wanderer. He spent the rest of his life a bitter person. God cursed the ground where Cain tilled it. You know, his life was to till the ground. But whenever he tilled the ground, God cursed it for the rest of his life. Oh, if only Cain had not said never to God. He paid dearly. One day the nation of Israel said never to God. You know the stories. You know the nation was gathered at Kadesh Barnea on the boundary of entering into Canaan. And they sent the spies in ahead of time to see what the land was like. And 10 spies came back and said, "Oh, it's a great land, all right, but those cities are so high-walled, and there are giants in the land." And 2 of the spies came back and said, "God is able to give us the land. Let's go." But the nation said, "No, never to God. Let's make us another leader and go back to Egypt. We'll never go in that land." God's response, "You are right. You will never go into that land." They had listened to the advice of gloom and doom and failed to trust God. And so God said, "Your entire generation will die before your children are old enough to go into the land." Israel learned, never say never to God. For the generation that said that wandered for 40 years in a desert wilderness, just waiting until they died. It could have been so different. But they said, never to God. "Jonah," said God, "go to Nineveh and cry out against it." You know the story. Jonah said, "Never." And so he went and got on a ship going the opposite direction. But you know what? Jonah wound up going to Nineveh and crying out against it. The very thing he said he would never do, he did. That is after he spent 3 days and 3 nights, 3 wretched, miserable, awful days, and 3 wretched, miserable, awful nights in the belly of the whale. Do you know what Jonah described his place to be there in that belly of the whale? He said, "It's the belly of hell." Sometimes, sometimes God allows our never to be never, but we'll wish it weren't so. But sometimes after chastening, he gives a second choice. Why didn't God just shelve Jonah and find someone else to go to Nineveh? Because God is gracious. And God gave Jonah a second chance after chastening him. Rather miserable experience to be chastened by God in the belly of a whale. I've never been there. I don't ever hope to be there. But it was miserable. Things could have been so different if only Jonah had never said never. When I think of Jonah, I think of my own experience. As a teenager, God called me to go to Bible school. I said never. That wasn't my desire. I said never. But you know where I wound up? Bible school. However, I spent a miserable year between the time I said never and the time I went. Between the time I said never and the time I said okay. I spent a year in which the guilt of my rebellion lay on my heart. I would go to church. I would even speak to the youth group. I would do all kinds of things. But I was miserable. And I could get by pretty well until the other students from our youth group came home from Bible college, and I saw their happiness and their joy, and I'm grinding away. I don't have that. Because I said never to God. But God was gracious to me, and He spoke to my heart about a year after the time I said never. He spoke to my heart and changed my heart. And I'm so glad that He did. I still don't deserve to have been called to be a pastor. I'm unworthy. But God is gracious. God was gracious to me. Sometimes, when people say never to God, God says, you're right. You never will do what I had for you, but you'll be sorry. Sometimes when people say never to God, God says, oh, yes, you will. When I get done with you, you will. Obviously, it is always best never say never to God. How about Peter? Good old Peter. Peter said never to God twice in the same night. You remember the words that we read this morning when, on the very night of Christ's arrest, He took the time to teach His disciples a lesson about humility. And He came to Peter and was about to wash Peter's feet. And Peter said, what are you doing? And then He said, you will never wash my feet. But he did. And I can see Peter blushing with embarrassment. And I can see the rest of the disciples with their heads bowed, embarrassed for Peter. And Peter wishing he'd never said, you will never wash my feet. Turn to Matthew 26, would you please? Matthew chapter 26. Well, it's the same night. The foot washing episode is over. And then the Lord begins to say some things. And in verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. And then Peter blurts out, though they all, that is the disciples, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. What a great affirmation of loyalty. Shouldn't we pledge our loyalty to Christ? Ah, but remember, Jesus had just said to his disciples, you will all fall away. Peter, you don't contradict the Lord. When he says you will all fall away, you just listen and wonder about it. You don't say, not me, never. And as you remember, Peter did fall away that same night. Three times he denied his association with Jesus Christ. I wonder if when Peter later on that night wept those bitter tears of repentance, did he remember that he had said to the Lord, not me, never? You can bet he sure did. And that made those bitter tears all the worse. Never say never to God. Should we pledge our allegiance to God? Yes, we should. Amen? We should pledge our allegiance to God. But we need to learn something from Peter. We need to learn that we are very weak. And I suggest that whenever we pledge our allegiance to God, we add this phrase, so help me, God. For our pledges come from broken vessels. And though they may be sincere, and though Peter was sincere, though everyone else will fall away, I won't. I will never. He was sincere. But he was totally wrong. You don't ever say never to God in any situation. You may not remember that last Sunday morning when we closed the service, I mentioned a scripture verse. The grace of God which brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live sincerely, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I can quote that because I say it every day in my own prayer. So I'm familiar with it. And when I say it in my prayer, I add to this, Lord, I pledge that I will be denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and I pledge that I will seek to live sincerely, righteously, and soberly, and to be looking for my Savior's glorious appearing. And I always add, so help me, God. So last week when we quoted that scripture, and we, as it were, as a church, said, we pledge that we will be denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we pledge that we will seek to live sincerely, righteously, and godly, and to be looking for our Savior's glorious appearing. Do you remember the words I added then too? Same words. So help me. Pledges can be sincere, but we're weak. We need God's help. I want to go back to something. Just to repeat it again. Sometimes when we say never to God, he says, okay, I'll take that. But you'll wish you had said differently. You'll wish you had. Sometimes when we say never to God, he says, yes, you will. When I'm done with you, you will. Either way, never say never to God. I would bring one more never from the scriptures to your attention, and I would call it the ultimate never. Would you turn to Revelation chapter 19? Revelation chapter 19. Going to read just verse 19 of chapter 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. The time of that particular scripture, it's a prophecy looking forward to the future. It is looking to the close of the tribulation. The Antichrist has gathered his armies. Why? To do battle with Jesus Christ and his army. To do battle with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And by their foolish actions, the Antichrist and his armies invite God to come down and battle with them. And by their foolish actions, they are saying, "We will never surrender to you. We will never worship you. We will never submit to you. We will never be bound by your authority. We will defeat you." Let me read from Psalm 2 the description of the arrogant rebellion of the Antichrist and his armies. "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves." That's scary. Set themselves. "And the ruler of the earth take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.'" The ultimate attitude. Never submit to God. "God, we will defeat you. We will break your bonds." Oh, and how does that turn out? What happens when they say that? Well, back in Revelation 19, I hope you're still there. Revelation 19 and verse 20. "And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh." This is the inevitable result of the resolute mindset: we will never submit to God. I believe that in 2018, I believe that God will speak to every one of us about something in our lives. To some, it may be the need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. If you have never done that, never say never to God. To some, it may relate to how we live our lives as Christians. How is our conduct at work? Are we a good example? How do we treat our spouses? Is there anyone here that would say, nobody could treat their spouse any better than I do? I can't say that. And I've got the best wife in the world. Sometimes I do not treat her with the respect that I should. And God talks to me about that. How are we rearing our children? Are there ministries in our church that God wants us to undertake? Do we have habits that need to be changed? Are we forgiving those who offend us? Are we faithful to God in our tithing? Are we trying to build each other up or tear each other down? There are all kinds of needs that we as Christians have. And I believe that in the year before us, God will be speaking to every one of us about some kind of a need. Whenever God says anything to any one of us, what's the word? Never say never to God, for that can only result in a lose-lose situation. Either we suffer the rest of our lives, or by the grace of God, we make a reversal, and we do the thing we said we'd never do. I close with the words of Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. For God is God. We're going to close with a hymn that perhaps some of you don't know. And if you don't know it, please don't try to sing it. But I'm hoping there's enough of you that do know it that we can sing it. But if you don't know it, read the words, think about the words, agree with the words. Now we have the same problem this week that we had last week. There's nobody there. So I will try to lead you, and this may not be the easiest one to lead, and we'll just sing it from our hearts. Let's stand together. Let's try it. It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may